You can't take death so personally, Dr. Baxter said. It's not like it has a personal vendetta against you or the ones you love. We're all going to die.
Really? Jacob said. After what I've told you, you still don't think I've had more than my share of death. Much, much more than anyone you've known.
Death manifested itself in all its dark glory when Jacob was 10. It wiped the planet clean of his parents and younger sister in a swift, fiery car crash. To make it all the more horrific, the teenage drunk driver survived with no injuries. Her parents said it was a miracle their daughter had survived. Jacob moved to another state to live with his father's parents, his only relatives, but they were already in their 80s. Within 5 months, they too passed away. His grandfather was struck dumb with a stroke a month after Jacob arrived. He died a week later. Jacob's grandmother had already begun fading away into the soft, smothering fabric of dementia. She was sent to a care facility the first day of spring and died before July 4th. The courts placed Jacob with a foster family, and since they were not blood relatives, no harm came to them. After he moved out to attend college, they quickly lost contact with him. When he was 23, he fell helplessly in love with Danielle. She was a single mother. They planned to marry, and he would adopt her beautiful daughter, Rachel. But during the wedding reception, a fire started in the kitchen. The ceiling vents sucked up the smoke and flames, and the support beams collapsed, blocking the front entrance. 7 people died in the fire, including Danielle and Rachel. From that moment on, Jacob took death personally. Knew that a bond had formed between them. They were on a first-name basis, like a deadly shadow. It clung to his thoughts, buried itself deep into his mind, made a snug home for itself. Jacob returned the devotion, making it his one passion to somehow outwit it, jump over its yawning chasm and its impossibly long reach. Each time he read about a death in the paper or heard about one online or on TV, he took it personally, as if death was simply reminding him that every day he would take someone, no matter how much grief it caused or how much it would destroy and uproot the lives of those involved. Death had made Jacob a loner from an early age, a sober-minded child with a wary, untrusting view of life. Over the years, he had learned that whatever kept you safe or loved or secure could be taken away from you just as quickly as changing the channel on the TV. After the deaths of Danielle and Rachel, he focused all of his energy on death. Its nature, its origin, the possibility of defeating it. Jacob knew how many people it consumed each day. More than 153,000 each year, 56 million, and by what method? Cardiovascular disease for most, followed by cancer, diabetes, lung disease. He didn't think the obsession was morbid. It was simply a matter of gathering intelligence about a cruel, relentless enemy that had invaded his life when he was a child and never planned to leave. He knew death would lunge at him at any moment, a car crash, a freak accident, or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, something that would render him dead. Something he would never see coming. Because most of the tactics death used were health-related. Jacob kept himself fit, healthy, and ate a well-balanced diet. If at all possible, he didn't want to die a natural death, or by his body betraying him, shutting itself down one day. He didn't think his fixation was out of the ordinary, or that he was mentally ill. The mystery and secrets of death were top of mind for anyone who stopped to think about the meaning of their life, their purpose on the planet. Everyone was curious about what, if anything, happened beyond the veil. What awaited him or her, once the mortal coil was shed. For years, he had discussed the topic with his physician. As always, he had been disappointed when Dr. Baxter had once again dismissively said, "You can't take death so personally. It's not like it has a personal vendetta against you or the ones you love. We're all going to die." Jacob thought differently. He obtained his stats about death from the internet,
but he only considered it a tool, a resource, an end unto itself. Jacob never thought that it could provide the elusive answers that continually nagged at him. Then he read an article on Wired about the Tor project, the free software that enabled anonymous communication by directing internet traffic through more than 7,000 relays. Tor was soon corrupted, and a sinister underbelly, the Darknet, was created that was hidden and anonymous, a place where dangerous and robust trade occurred. What Jacob found so tantalizing about the story was the sense that anything goes in the Darknet. Down there, everything and anything could hide. It was all for sale or discovery. Anything. Somewhere in the Darknet, Jacob suspected he'd find the answers about death. He thought access was going to be difficult or complicated, but in the same way everyone was two clicks away from learning how to make a bomb or discovering hours of free porn, locating and gaining entrance to the Darknet was relatively easy. Step-by-step directions were readily available on YouTube or a simple Google search of the topic, resulting in thousands of answers. He found his way into Tor via the hidden wiki, then used Tor Direct to locate the Tor links, which put him face-to-face with the Tor browser. Then he was stuck, so he called Catherine. She headed up IT at his office. Jacob worked from home most days. "First of all, drop all the darknet and deep web stuff," Catherine told him dismissively. Jacob had been surprised. She wasn't appalled or curious about his desire to visit the site. "Why? Am I using the terms wrong?" Catherine was busy with her keyboard as she spoke. "No, but it just adds a lot of silly mystery and nonsense to it all. Okay, to make it simple, the deep web refers to all the web pages that the above ground search engines can't find. You enter through the deep web, then you go down and dirty in the dark net." "Okay, got it," Jacob said. "You have the Tor browser?" For the next 30 minutes, she walked him through it, telling him where to click, what to download, what to be careful of. "Remember, it's going to be very slow going. Everything is bouncing around off volunteer servers, so when you get on a forum, be patient when you ask a question. It'll take some time for someone to respond to you." "Yeah, okay." "And once you get down there, you'll have access to some pretty, well, sick stuff, plus some very dangerous people. That's why it's called Ho." When he didn't respond, she said, "Hell on Earth. You're a click away from some very bad places and groups, including terrorist recruiters, kiddie porn, kills for hire, even worse." "Even worse. It's a sick world above ground," Catherine said. "And as above, so below, right?" "Only more so when it's the Darknet." The Darknet was a disorganized, chaotic mess. The forums and websites had vague names like Duck and Cover, Planet Hack, Storyville, and hundreds, maybe thousands of others. Most of the links were dead or took too long to load, so Jacob moved on. Many stated their webpage was down, but Catherine had told him that it was just a ploy. Most were on 30-second delays and would eventually appear if he waited. "It's all about being patient," she explained. He wondered why she knew so much about the Darknet, but since she had not questioned him, he did not query her. The first evening he explored for 7 hours. He felt as though he had been dropped into the middle of a circus performing silently in the darkness. He sensed something was going on, some form of activity, but he had no idea what it was or how to join in. He was an observer, a lurker, a voyeur, a troll who only watched what others posted. Nervous and tense, he felt like a child playing in a jack-in-the-box. He thought that at any second, something was going to jump out of the computer and startle him. Most of what he saw was either sex or drugs or weapons related. The porn sites were, for the most part, unwatchable. They were harsh, cruel, not at all seductive to Jacob. Extreme forms of BDSM were everywhere, along with bestiality that included horses, dogs, or even drugged wild animals. Other sites stored images, made promises that reminded him of walking past shadowy figures in alleyways, where there were sights and sounds that you didn't want to head. The majority of the Darknet was of no interest to Jacob. He wasn't looking for sex, or drugs, or weapons, or hitmen, nor did he want to join any terrorist groups, or the dozens of other terrorist groups that were swimming around like sharks. What he wanted was something that was even darker. Even though he was single-focused on his search, he couldn't help but encounter repulsive and mind-altering images and suggestions. Frequently, he was so shaken by what he was seeing that he took a break from his explorations. He had a sense that he was a swimmer who'd gone too far, was in too deep, and would never make it back to safety of the shore. But he pressed on, returning to the keyboard, the dread increasing with each click, each passing hour. After a few hours before dawn, he reluctantly had to abandon his search. His eyes burned and stung from the hours of screen exposure. When he finally went to sleep, he had no dreams. Only nightmares. The second evening, he spent hours visiting the forums, and he began to make sense of some of what he was seeing. More than 70% of the sites that were dead or playing possum showed no signs of life, unless he waited for 30 seconds. Then the latch, as it was called, would unlock and permit you into the depraved world. He was grateful Catherine had told him to be patient. The apprehension that had dogged him for the first night had subsided a bit. It had become familiar, like a chronic pain or discomfort that you simply adapted to, since you knew that it wasn't going to leave you alone. Jacob soon discovered that the darknet also had a trapdoor. He had thought it was a rumor, cryptically called FK, or Forbidden Knowledge. It all seemed a bit silly, like a boys' club in a treehouse where old girly magazines were lusted over, but he gradually came to understand that it was a real place. It was like a basement in the darknet, a location of obscurities and secrets, and that was where Jacob was attempting to gain entrance. Everyone was suspicious of him, but he persevered. Latches were lifted. He visited forums and sites with names like Pendragon, Creepy's Library, Nightmoth, Books of the Dead, Eclectic Artisans, the Sanctum of the Black Sun. He discovered that most of them were bogus in their claims of possessing secret manuscripts or having the ability to perform rituals for everlasting life. Simple Google searches revealed the scam employed in the darknet. Everyone claimed to have a copy of the Necronomicon. What little sleep he managed to succumb to never provided him with any restoration. Any slumber was littered with horrific images of things that he'd seen in the darknet. They were not grainy, stilted videos, or poorly scanned photographs. What he saw in the twisted corridors of his dreams were living creatures with eyes that watched him as he tried to sneak past their caverns. He awoke screaming. His body clammy, trembling. The nightmares were so vivid that he was convinced he was getting closer to what he was seeking. He wondered if, perhaps, he was trying to scare him off. The belief only made him more determined. The third evening, he spent more than 6 hours visiting occult sites and was quickly able to tell the difference between the functioning ones and those that had closed or were inactive. Communication was concise in the forums. Words appeared one by one, not as complete sentences. Everything was always seen in slow motion. It was all very dreamlike. On the fourth evening, just before midnight, Jacob came across a site called Dark Seekers. Those postings mentioned books that he had never heard of, the sixth and seventh book of Moses, the Spring Book, the Spiritual Shield, and others that apparently contained the secrets to obtain power over death. He searched the forums until he found an active one. He calmed himself, took a breath, typed in, "Need power over death." His words appeared several seconds later. "Need power over death." His left leg was shaking nervously under the computer desk. Then, with no delay, "Who are you?" He gasped, startled at the response, but Jacob didn't respond to the question. He had learned by watching that those who wanted to engage you in conversation were usually the scammers. Feeling like a fisherman who had finally gotten a bite, he quickly typed in, "Want ever lasting life. Who are you? Need power over death. I have the other." Confused, his hands trembling a bit, Jacob typed, "Ever lasting life." A form of, yes. The response always came quickly, always in a complete sentence. Other forum questions rose up like a tide, flooding the boards, pushing Jacob's questions and the answers off of his screen. If someone wanted to connect with you, they employed a hook, which attached to your threads. Whoever was communicating with Jacobs had hooked him. Jacob took some deep breaths, calmed himself, typed, "Want ever lasting life." "I have a form of that. Who are you?" Before Jacob could think how to respond, words appeared. "Do I know you?" Jacob leaned back, putting distance between himself and the computer screen. His heart had started a hard, rapid beat. His shoulders were tight with tension. The conversation was unsettling. He was shaken by the questions. He decided to take a break. He stood up, stretched. He had been at his desk for hours, needed to take a piss, to settle down, get some perspective. Was this really happening? When he returned to the screen minutes later, the forum had been cleared. Only his posts and the response from the other person remained. Jacob stretched his fingers out, exhaled slowly, and typed, "Where'd everyone go?" "I cleared the room. Who are you? Do I know you?" "Who are you? How do you type so fast?" "Experience. What's your name?" Jacob was uneasy. Why did it matter what his name was? "What's your name? You want me to guess?" Jacob said, "No," to the computer screen, type nothing, then, "There's your name, begin with a J." A tremor swept through Jacob's body, a surge of adrenaline and unrestrained fear. "Are you a man or a woman?" "You're a man. Your name begins with a J." He felt a chill ripple down his back. He might have cried out. He had placed his hands over his mouth. "Why don't you answer me, Jacob?" The instant his name appeared, he pushed himself away from the desk with such force that he nearly tipped his chair over. He stood, grasping his legs, weak arms, trembling. He stared at the illuminated message. "Why don't you answer me, Jacob?" Then, before any words could appear, he exited the site and slammed his laptop shut. "That's very freaky," Catherine said the next day. "Sorry, dude. Are you sure you didn't tell him or anyone your name? You sure you didn't have a breadcrumb or post any pics that had data or code? Is there anything that could be tracked back to you?" "No," Jacob said. He had her on speakerphone at home. His laptop was on his desk, waiting. He hadn't slept the night before, too unsettled over his experience, yet also strangely compelled to return to the darknet. There was almost a sexual pull to it, like targeted porn that somehow knew all your obsessions and pleasure points. One that was created with only you in mind. He sensed whatever inhuman thing was down there, which is what he had started to call it. Not only knew his name, but it could help him obtain what he was after. He was so close. "I wanted to see what you thought. I wanted to see what you thought," Jacob said. "Maybe it was just a very, very creepy, wild guess that he knew my name." "Yeah, it could be," she said absently. "But people say that there's a lot of creepy shit that goes down there. Along with a lot of weird, very powerful people." "Powerful people?" "Or, you know, people with power. Because it's totally anonymous. Anyone can go down there, and no one will ever know who you are," she said. "Or what they are. So be careful, Jacob, okay? Sort of takes on a life of its own. You know what I mean?" Many of the forums that he had looked at before were gone, or no longer active. That was the way with the darknet. It morphed into something new every few minutes, constantly changing, deleting, recreating itself. It was perfect for those who wanted to remain undetected and unknown, frustrating for those who wanted to find them. Darkseekers was gone, as expected. Jacob was relieved, even though he couldn't shake the mixture of elation and terror that he experienced when the person had guessed his name. He spent an hour skipping around forums until he came to one called Great Adepts and Trained Seers. It was rabid with activity and subject matter was posted that intrigued him. Needed help deciphering the mutterings of dead shamans. My journey to Katabasis. Freedom from interment. Need location of ritual conjuring pit. The postings were slow, plodding, with desires and pleas repeated endlessly. Words over slow-motion waterfalls. Jacob finally dove in. He eagerly typed, need power over death. No response for several seconds. He tapped his fingers anxiously on the desk. I can help you. Elated, Jacob didn't waste any time. He posted. Proof? I've done it before. Proof! He didn't notice he was breathing heavily, almost panting in expectation for a reply. The muted glare of the screen was stagnant, a dead thing that he stared at as he waited for a response. Seconds ticked by. He was about to leave, try another site when the poster hooked him and wrote, China, tomorrow, 10 a.m. How will I find you again? Jacob posted. I'll find you. The next morning he watched the news, but nothing was mentioned about China. In the daylight above ground, far away from the depths of the darknet, Jacob was disappointed to admit that someone had just toyed with him. Another troll from down there. He turned the TV off at 11:30, went to Google, typed in China, hit news as a sub-search, and five headlines popped up. Jacob read three of them. Chinese boy thought dead, awakens in morgue. Resurrected, child in China stuns doctors, delights family. Dead boy returns to life, Chinese physicians baffled. The stories had all been posted at 10 a.m. He greedily read through them all. Minutes later, he was as convinced as the astonished doctors who were quoted in the article. Apparently, a bus had hit a three-year-old boy and his mother in the village of Kondixia. The driver had lost control of the vehicle after suffering an epileptic seizure. No one in the bus had died, but the mother and son had been pronounced dead at the scene of the accident. The next morning, the bodies were being prepared for burial when the boy opened his eyes. He recovered, but his mother did not. China. Tomorrow. 10 a.m. Jacob immediately went back down there, searching for the forum Great Adept and Trained Seers, but it was no longer active. 2 hours into his search, he came across a brand new site established seconds earlier. An excited shiver swept through him. Jacob's Ladder. The forum was empty. No activity, no posts. He was the first. China came true. Instantly, the reply unfurled across the screen. Of course it did. What? Now? Life everlasting. Life over death. Yes. How? Lean in. Jacob automatically pressed in closer to the screen. Closer. Why am I doing this? Life everlasting. Life over death. Feeling foolish but curious, wondering if he was being pranked, Jacob hunched over until he was only a few inches from the screen. The text was big, bright, and seemed to pulsate. He was so close to it. All around the border of the forum, he thought that he could see movements. Murky shapes darting about. Forehead on screen. What? Why? Contact needed for life over death. Now and forever. Correct? Yes. Now and forever. Jacob sighed, relieved. He was exhausted, hadn't eaten in several days, but it didn't matter. Whoever or whatever was communicating with him had managed to raise the little boy from the dead. So it certainly had proven that it had power over death. There was no reason to doubt it or not do as it asked. He adjusted himself so he could press his forehead against the screen. The words were distorted, blurred. He was again aware of movements in his peripheral vision, like thick black eels aimlessly searching for a meal. Now they appeared to be in his room, repositioning themselves behind the computer. Impossible, of course. sort of takes on a life of his own, he recalled Catherine saying. He was conscious of his breathing. He became haggard, thick, his lungs struggling to fill with air. His back began to ache from the awkward position. His throat tightened. He felt queasy. His brow remained pressed against the screen. His chest and shoulders started to tremble in discomfort. This is ridiculous, Jacob thought suddenly. Probably filming me right now, the idiot with his head pressed against the screen. He abruptly straightened up and cried out in pain. The screen came back with him. His forehead still attached to it, the texture of the monitor had suddenly turned thick and gummy like Vaseline with a solid base. He tried to push it away, but it firmly affixed and gripped his brow. The skin would tear if he removed the screen. Tears ran down Jacob's face as he carefully returned to his original position so the computer was flat on his desk. Forcing his shoulders to remain hunched over, he was breathing deeply, felt sick to his stomach. His neck and shoulders ached under the strain. He opened his eyes. His words were no longer blurred. In fact, his vision was now perfect, even though he was still attached, forehead to screen, to the computer monitor. Now and forever. Yes, he said, helplessly weeping now. Life over death. Now and forever. Now? Yes, he whispered, almost a plea. He was still in such discomfort. I want it to begin now. Now and forever. He read the words on the screen. Then the screen went black and fell forward. The computer was gone. He quickly straightened up. The pain in his neck and shoulders eased. His room was in darkness. He stood up, rotating his shoulders, trying to determine where the desk lamp was. Had the computer really disappeared? He reached around into the empty space, wondering, am I awake or is this a dream? Why am I not afraid? He felt around him, sensing a vast expanse. The air felt thicker, heavier, almost as if he was underwater. He was no longer walking on the floorboards of his home. It was now earth, slanted, uneven, like walking on mounds of sand. He abruptly sensed that he was not alone. He knew he was advancing towards an opposing force. Still, no fear, only expectancy. Hello? A dense but fluid silence seemed to lean in at the sound of his voice. Is anyone there? He sounded muffled, like he was speaking from under a blanket. Jacob. He didn't actually hear his name called. He intuited it. Somewhere around him, there was a manifestation of something that knew who he was. It was acknowledging him. And Jacob took comfort in that. Who's there? I am the one with the form of what you wanted. Power over death. Life everlasting. Yes. The air about him was now warm, moist, like a sauna. Sightless in the deep gloom, he squinted into its midst, continued steadily forward. His footfalls on the ground crunched at times, slurping in the mud or guck that he was on. A swamp of mud. A patch. Where had he wandered? The atmosphere congealed, tightening in on itself. He could almost feel the murkiness that he was walking into. He tripped, cried out as he landed on his back. He thought he felt something grab his ankle. It would have pulled him away if he hadn't fallen, but now something else monstrous had pressed down on him. Were there two entities stalking him? This one had the shape and feel of gravity, or the blackness that he was now swimming in. It was like an animal. He sensed there was a snout, but there was an overall weight bearing down on him. Not the legs of any mammal. It was massive, sludge-like. He didn't struggle. He knew that it would be useless, better to embrace it. The force on top, having subdued him, seemed to quickly seep into his body, invading his pores with his embodiment. A transformation, Jacob wondered with hope. An empowerment. Was it happening now? Was he being endued with a power over death? Gradually, he lay there, panting. Night thinned into gray, a mist that parted like a secret veil. It was like a slow dawn breaking forth, shadows stretching until they splintered and dissolved. The area around him was still a dreary lack of thick shade, void of color, but he could now make out shapes. He was in a forest or a rocky place with tall sarsens all around him. The illumination was more twilight than dawn. It shimmered, struggling as if held by a more powerful unseen presence. Now and forever. Bewildered but serene, Jacob sensed that it was about to begin. It was the forever, the power over death. He now had the empowerment to never yield to the end of the cruel thing that had taken his parents, sisters, grandparents, wife, and stepdaughter. He would be forever free of what consumed more than 153,000 each day. Free from death, which obliterated 56 million lives each year. It was a new world, an afterlife of life that was both now and forevermore. Anticipation welled up inside of Jacob as he sensed that he was in the presence of God, or a God, or every God that had the power to rule over all, even the power of death. Above him, the sky-like firmament began to waver. It flickered in the same way the twilight had, as if distressed by its position of purpose. A struggle seemed to be occurring, one with pressing into and against one another. Cloud-like imageries appeared, resembling ink swirling about in the liquid. They imploded upon themselves overhead like dull, slow-paced fireworks. This is really happening, he thought, ecstatic at the wonder of it all, in awe at what he was witnessing. And then the cloudy images began to refine themselves. With clarity came realization. Jacob was still immobilized by the invisible force, could not look away as sights and sounds unfurled in the heavens. The first image was of a young girl, no more than 5, being viciously molested by her father. Her screams for help echoed harshly around Jacob. He was unable to cover his ears or look away. He was restrained on the ground, paralyzed by the vast, blasphemous weight that rested on him, securing him in its embrace. The second image was a torture victim, with more than half of his face torn off. He was bound in a chair while a woman was flaying the skin off of his body. He shrieked and withered. The third image was an elderly man being dismembered by a group of teenagers who taunted and mocked his cries for mercy. Each image appeared for a few seconds, just enough for the horrific incident to register with Jacob. Then another replaced it. He knew they were all from the Darknet. Things he had chosen not to look at as he scrolled through the forums in search of the power over death, of life everlasting. I have a form of that. H-O-E, Catherine had called it. Hell on Earth. Jacob had found what he was looking for. Or at least, a form of it. Now and forever. Life. Everlasting. Helplessly, Jacob could only watch and take it all in.